You know what's weird for me, too, is that RV chores for me are way more fun than house chores because they are, tend to be more easily accomplished. So, like, if I had to vacuum the house, like, I find that horrifying and borderline depressing, where vacuuming the RV is like, yeah, I'll do that because
yeah, why not?
I can be done so quickly.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of Where Should We Camp Next? A 50-state guide to amazing campgrounds and other unique outdoor accommodations.
Almost 12 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We will also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today, we are back for a second episode this week with Shelley Bailey Shaw. After going over a year without having her on the show, we've given her the whole week, both episodes. I really missed having her on the show, and she reached out this spring with some ideas, and I was really excited to get her back on. So in the last episode, she gave us a review of the Jellystone Park, Guadalupe River in Texas, which was a short stop on a long, epic RV trip for her. But then she suggested a second podcast topic as well, which I was just incredibly excited to get her to do. So for a long stretch of her trip, there were actually 7 people and a dog in her RV with her. Maybe it was 8 people, but it was 7 or 8. That's a lot of people in one RV for a good, healthy, long stretch of the trip. So this episode, she's going to give us 10 tips for surviving with big groups in a single RV, because it seems like a lot could go wrong, right? With that many people in the RV. And it wasn't all one nuclear family either. Like, there was like a brother, there was nephews. I think it was kind of bold of her to do this stretch of the trip all together in the RV. And Shelley is wise, and Shelley is fun, and Shelley is funny. So they pulled it off. She survived, and she's going to basically tell us how they did it and give you tips if you ever want to do like a multi-family trip in one single RV. So I can't wait to hear 10 tips. But before we dive into this podcast, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Blackstone. The sound of bacon or burgers and steak sizzling is the sound that you crave this summer. Blackstone is the original flat-top griddle with more than 5 million griddles sold. Blackstone is the way that America cooks in the great outdoors. You can cook everything you can on a traditional grill and 1,000 things you can't. Do you want an incredible breakfast? How about lunch or dinner? The solid steel flat-top infuses the flavors. Pick the size and style that's right for your next camping trip. The 17-inch and 22-inch griddles are easy to store in your RV and still have the space to feed the hungriest army. There's even a portable Blackstone with an air fryer built in. Talk about variety. With Blackstone, you can cook anything, anytime, anywhere. For outdoor cooking fun and flavor that you can't find anywhere else, go wherever griddles are sold or head on over to blackstoneproducts.com. And remember, if it's not a Blackstone, it's not a griddle. Hello, Shelley Bailey Shaw. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you. And thanks for having me twice in one week.
I'm thrilled. You're making my life easy, actually, to tell you the truth. And I was very excited to get your review of that Jellystone in Kerrville, Texas, because we haven't been to that one. And I've been hearing great things about that campground. And it seems like a terrific campground. But I'm really even more excited to hear about your 10 tips for surviving an RV trip with a large group. So it was 7 people, a dog in a 38-foot motorhome for at least a stretch of your big trip, correct?
Yes, it was 2,500 mile stretch, to be exact. It was from Tampa to Phoenix. And on board, my husband, my son, my brother, sister-in-law, my 2 little nephews, and our black lab.
Now, apparently you survived, correct?
I'm here to tell the tale.
Now, is your husband feeling the same way? I mean, would he be on board for this as well? Or did he have a good experience too?
He had a good experience. Did he take more convincing? Yes. Yes, he absolutely did.
All right. I mean, I think it sounds really kind of ridiculously fun to have, you know, friends and family on board for, you know, a big RV trip. You're going to give us 10 tips to make this work, to kind of survive this type of a family trip. So are you ready to go?
Yes, I am. Let's do it.
All right. Give us tip number one.
So I would say number one is to set expectations from the start when it comes to finances. You know, money can be a great source of stress, whether we're talking about between spouses or families or friends. And so I recommend having a really frank and very specific discussion about who's going to pay for what before you ever set foot in the RV. In our case, we were going to take this trip whether my brother and his family came or not. So we agreed to pay for all the gas, all the campgrounds, and our family's excursions and meals out. And then my brother agreed to pay for all the groceries and his family's excursions and meals out. So we never had that awkward moment at the checkout line in Walmart where you're wondering who exactly is going to pull out their credit card.
Now, it's better to, look, it's better to front load those conversations. And if there is going to be any awkwardness, which probably just depends on your family and the how your trip is being made up. I would rather have those awkward moments when I'm not on vacation, right? Like I don't want to be dealing with stress when I'm supposed to be out in an RV trip having fun. So I think that's a super smart tip. So that part, you know, you don't have to go into gory details here, but that part worked out pretty well.
It did. And again, there was, you know, no worries about it because everyone knew what to expect from day one.
I kind of like the setup here. So next time you guys decide you're going on a trip anyway, if you would like to invite me along and you're willing to pay for the gas and the motorhome and the campgrounds, I would, you know, consider jumping on board. All right. So
they got a pretty good deal out of it. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I think that sounds like they did for sure. Okay. So tip number two, maybe I'm guessing maybe was a little bit more of a tricky conversation.
Yeah. You know, tip number two is setting expectations when it comes to responsibilities. And this is a big one for me personally, distribution of labor, because it's not a vacation if you're having to do all the work, right? So my husband and I split the driving. So with 2,500 miles, there was plenty of driving to do. And as you know, it can be pretty exhausting. So the last thing I wanted to do at the end of the day was turn around and make dinner for 7 people. So we agreed that my brother and sister-in-law would be in charge of meals. Likewise, when we got to a gas station or a campground, everyone had an assigned job to do. So, you know, someone is in charge of doing the hookup, someone would pop the slides, someone else would take the dog for a walk, and, you know, someone else would vacuum up all the dog hair in the RV. So everyone had the same responsibilities each and every time we stopped, and that helped cut down on conflicts.
This has been a real challenge even for Stephanie and I. I mean, to be very frank with our listeners, I'm comfortable sharing my own inadequacies on the podcast at this point. You know,
that's why we listen, Jeremy.
Well, that's nice to hear. I think it's fair to say that over the years, a problem we've really profoundly had is that I get myself and the RV ready. And Stephanie gets herself, the kids, and portions of the RV ready, right? Like, I mean, when I say I get the RV ready, I mean hitching it up and some of the technical stuff. In other words, mom was getting assigned way too much, right? And I think that if we're all honest out there, that probably happens with a lot of RV moms. You know, that's something Stephanie and I have been working through. And she's in a really hyper-busy part of her career right now, where in the past we were both teachers. We'd go on a summer RV trip. You know, she could spend 3 days getting ready for an RV trip, you know?
Right.
But like, I mean, for instance, we went to Moose Hillock for Memorial Day, and she just was really, really busy in the lead up to that trip. And I basically had to do almost everything And it was really hard and exhausting. And for me, that's what it needed for me to understand what she had been going through. It's not just hearing her say it, but me having to do it. So, yeah, I think, you know, everybody listening, you know, take an honest look at the responsibilities. Is everybody, you know, shouldering their fair share? And it's so important, not to pontificate, but it's so important if you want to keep RVing over the long haul, right? That you know, mom or, you know, any one person's exhausted by the experience.
Well, and I have to say that this was the first time that my sister-in-law and nephews had ever set foot in an RV. So they really, you know, it took a couple of days for them to realize just how much work it is, right? Like you, when you get somewhere, it's not, let's go to the playground or go to the pool. We have to set up first. So it took a couple of days to get them on board, but they, you know, they had their jobs too, and everyone pitched in, which made my job and my husband's job a lot lighter.
Can you give me an example of like maybe some of the responsibilities that they were assigned or that they agreed to, like the nephews? I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah. So, my son always took the dog out of the RV, and then my two little nephews would stay, and one was in charge of pushing the buttons to open the slides, because that was very exciting. You know, he's 6 years old, so pushing buttons is you know, his thing. And then my 10-year-old, we have a central vac system in our RV. And so he would get out the hoses and plug it in and then give the RV a good vacuuming once the slides were pushed out. Because, again, we have a lab, that thing, that dog sheds like no one's business. And so that had to be done, you know, every single day. So they did things like that, and they were really good. And they're still at the age where like chores are fun. I can't say that so much about my 18-year-old.
You know, what's weird for me, too, is that RV chores for me are way more fun than house chores because they are tend to be more easily accomplished. So like if I had to vacuum the house, like I find that horrifying and borderline depressing, where vacuuming the RV is like, yeah, I'll do that because
yeah, why not?
I can be done so quickly. So that's great advice. Let's move to tip number three. And I think this is a terrific one, particularly for the kids.
Yeah, so make sure the itinerary includes something for everyone. So this was a particular challenge on this trip because everyone had their own agenda and traveling style. So I'm a go, go, go. You know, if I'm going to go on a trip, I want to see everything. My brother's family is not. They have younger children. They travel at a slower pace. So I have this goal of visiting all the national parks, and we plan to do 5 on this leg. But I needed to be really thoughtful about how I incorporated my personal goals with theirs. So, for example, we visited these 5 parks, but I was very selective about just how much of the park we saw. We made sure that we stopped at the visitor center, you know, first thing, picked up my nephew's junior ranger books. We built in time for them to work on those books and earn their badges. You know, this is something I haven't had to think about in a really long time. My boys are 18 and 21 now. So while my family can easily do a 5-mile hike, you know, we instead chose shorter hikes that weren't as overwhelming for my nephews. And then when it came to campgrounds, with one exception, I chose all commercial campgrounds with full hookups and a pool. And in 2 of the cases, I intentionally chose resort campgrounds with water parks and other amenities for the kids, because I knew that that would be really enjoyable for them. So, you know, the takeaway here is to be just very intentional about your choices.
And compromise, right? I mean, mm-hmm. You know, you can't look. I've really learned too. If we go on, we're leaving for Lake Placid tomorrow, you know, for a camping trip. And if the whole trip was just what Jeremy wants to do, you know, from hour to hour to hour, like, I'd be dragging the boys along, you know, to things. I'd be ruining the experience for them. So we're already talking about, like, what are we going to be doing for this, you know, short 3 to 4 day trip? And I'm not going to get to do everything I want. And that's okay, because I want my family to be happy and I want us all to enjoy being there together. So that's good stuff, too. So what's next?
So number 4 has always been a rule of mine. Do not overpack. I think this is always a good rule because especially when you're talking about seven people sharing one RV, I mean, space is at a premium. I had my brother's family pack just four outfits. And before you panic, I'll explain. Because we did laundry and I'm really fortunate that our RV has a washer and dryer. It's my favorite feature in the RV. So doing a load of wash is like not a big deal. So very few clothes. My nephews brought tablets, but other than that, they just played with what we had already in the RV, which brings me actually to number five, which is have a bag of tricks. So I fully stocked our RV before I left Portland with plenty of things to keep my nephews busy. So, you know, games of all sorts, some crafts, crayons, paper stickers, movies, and then my go-to, which is audiobooks. So despite the length of the trip, they were occupied. And this being their first RV trip, you know, the first couple of days, it was just, you know, just cool to be in the RV. But then after that, you know, I needed to make sure that they were occupied as we went down the road because we did have a lot of driving.
So were they really excited about that when the bag of tricks got pulled out, as it were?
Oh, yes. And, you know, like any good mom who's taken a long flight, I sort of, you know, piecemealed it, right? You don't show them all the tricks at the very beginning. You hold back, you save a few so that on day seven, there's still something special that's going to get pulled out.
Very crafty. And I have to just go back and ask you quickly, when you told them four outfits, did anyone resist? Because I would have been, that would have been the point of contention for me if somebody had told me that, even though it was their RV. Was everybody okay with that?
My sister-in-law is a clothes a hound, right? Like she would admit that openly. So she's like, what? And then I just, you know, I explained to her that, you know, we have just very limited space for clothes and that we would be having the ability to wash every night. So once she understood that, it was fine. You know, the only downside is that when you look back at the pictures, you're only going to see four outfits, but it's fine. It's fine. You're camping.
You're making me realize that a larger family, let's say you had a family of seven people, you know, that a Class A with a washer, a washing machine and a dryer would be pretty clutch, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I only have a family of four and it's become clutch. I don't think I'd have a really hard time going back.
I'm sure. I'm sitting here like, well, I don't have one, right? I'm a little jealous. I get the appeal. I mean, I really do. Like in the Go RVing series, I did a Class A Tiffin with my friend Don, and really same as you. I think it really was like the thing he could not live without, and he said it for the same exact reasons that you did. That everybody can pack less, pack more reasonably, and they just do the laundry. No big deal, right? Yeah. I mean, that's terrific. Okay, so I think we're on to number six, even though I was the one bouncing us back and forth there. What is tip number six for surviving a trip with a large group in an RV?
So this kind of plays into the overpacking deal. Number six is make sure everything has its place. I've been RVing 14 years, and one thing I know for sure is the more stuff in your RV, the more chaotic and stressful it can become. So that's especially true when you're talking about living with seven people. So everything needs to have its place and everyone needs to be responsible for tidying up. Needless to say, we had stuff in every little cubby hole of this RV, even cubby holes that I had never used before.
You know, I think that one of the best things that I do once a year is I go through the entire RV and take out things that we didn't use that year. Because I do, I hoard a little bit, much to Stephanie's chagrin, but I at least then do edit myself later because I hate when the RV just gets filled with too much stuff. It's just too small of a space. Yeah. So number seven, you were able to pull off in a 38-foot motorhome. What was number seven? What was tip number seven?
Make sure everyone has a designated place to sleep because we want people to be well rested, right? So this proved to be a little challenging for us. So we have a Newmar Ventana and it has a queen bed in the bedroom. It has a sleeper sofa for two in the living room. We converted our dinette into a bed every night for my nephews, which just left my 18-year-old son with nowhere to sleep. So he slept on a blow-up mattress in the master bedroom. And then the poor dog, the dog slept on the bathroom floor. And one morning I woke up to find his body on the bathroom floor. And then he had like his head like propped up into the shower. So I admit it was a little tight.
Dogs are flexible. And, you know, your son sounds like a great guy taking one for the team there, right? I mean, was that sort of the attitude?
He did. He did. And I will say after 10 days on the blow up mattress, though, he was more than ready to get back to his bed.
And what were his what was it like for him and the nephews? I mean, the nephews like looking up to him sort of. I mean, was it like a fun experience there?
You know, it was actually really fantastic because we live in Oregon. My brother lives in Florida. We don't get to see each other nearly enough. You know, these aren't cousins who are growing up together. And so they love being with my son. And he was really great with them, very generous with his time. And he, while we were on the road, he was the one who was entertaining the most of the time. So if they were playing video games together or playing games or whatever. So I think my brother and his wife really appreciated the fact that Aiden gave them a break.
I'm thinking if I'm one of the nephews that would have been just maybe even the most memorable part of the trip, getting to hang, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, tip number 8 is definitely something Stephanie and I talk a lot about. What's tip number 8 for surviving a trip with a large group in an RV?
So, you know, consider the impact of long driving days, especially on the younger kids. So long before this trip, when my kids were young, we employed this tactic. We would like rise before the sun to get in a few hours of driving before the kids got up. So on this trip, we had a few 8 or 9 hour driving days. So I'd slip out of bed at like 4 o'clock in the morning, unhook and hit the road, leaving the rest of the family to get a few more hours of sleep. And then, you know, typically the kids wouldn't wake up until around 7 or 8. They'd get ready and have breakfast while we're moving down the road. So, you know, that eats up some time. And that way we really only had to entertain themselves for about 4 hours or so. Which was completely doable. And of course, you know, we made more frequent rest stop breaks, made sure that everyone got out, you know, stretched their legs and made a point of like eating outside of the RV along the road as well, just to get people, you know, moving and so that they weren't feeling like we had spent too much time in the RV.
The long driving days has definitely been a stress point and point of conversation for Stephanie and I too. And when it becomes really difficult for us is when we have spring break, because we have spring break in April in New Jersey. We all want to go somewhere warm, which has typically meant South Carolina, and we only have a week off or 8 days off, so we're not going to take our time getting down there. So like the last time we went to Charleston in the RV for spring break, it took me 15 hours with gas stops, you know, and it was a long, hard day. It was an amazing trip, but a long, hard day. And I avoid those long, hard days if you can, depending on your situation. That's the advice I would give anybody listening. Okay,
well,
so
and we have
go ahead.
Situation no, go ahead. Too, when, you know, we're in Oregon, right? So if we're going to, we've done those same spring break trips that we want to get down to Southern California or Arizona or Southern Utah, and it's a haul. And so this is what we've done. We've tried to, you know, it's usually me who gets up at 4 a.m. Because I'm willing to do it in order to not have people complain about the 4 hours of extra driving. So I'm willing to get up and lose some sleep in order to hear fewer complaints.
And I do think, and I've never owned a motorhome, but I really do think that this would be a huge part of the appeal. You know, when I'm talking about driving 15 hours to Charleston, the five of us and our dog are in my F-250 crammed together, you know. So, I mean, if there's one singular reason why I would love to own a motorhome one day, it is probably for this reason, just the comfort on driving days.
It's a perk.
To say the least. Okay. So I like number 9 a lot. Okay. I think that number 9 might be my favorite tip here to really make a RV trip successful with a large group of people who are at different ages, you know, want different experiences. What is tip number 9?
So number nine is plan to spend time apart when you land somewhere, especially if you have teens. So just because it's a family vacation doesn't mean you have to spend every waking moment together. For example, while visiting Carlsbad Caverns, we had the opportunity to take a special tour where a handful of people got to go with a ranger and like flip the lights on in the cave. I think you really actually would have enjoyed this. So you go in, it's pitch dark, and then you're flipping on the lights, and then Carlsbad Cavern, you know, reveals itself. But this tour was only open to people ages 12 and up. So obviously my nephews weren't able to do it. So that's okay. You know, the three of us did that tour, and then my brother and his family did the regular tour that had a later entry that morning, and it was fine. And even at the campground, you know, making sure that you get to take an evening walk, maybe by yourself. I know that this is, Stephanie is a big fan of the solo walk with the dog. You know, it can be a real sanity saver. And so, you know, just build in that time for yourself.
I almost feel like Stephanie put you up to this tip because I'm, I want to do everything together all the time, which, you know, I don't know what the psychology is there. But I do. And I just now, particularly as Max and Theo are entering middle school, you do see that they enjoy spending time with you more when they're not spending all of their time with you. Yeah, so you're teaching me how to be a good father here as my kids get a little bit older. So great trip. I mean, it seems like that could also be a little bit challenging on an RV trip too, though, because you are in a smaller, limited space. Was it a challenge or did it work out okay?
I think we recognized it early in the trip. And then, you know, those evening walks around the campground can be very therapeutic.
Once again, to say the least, right? Yeah. Say no more. So tip number 10, ending on a really nice positive note here. What's the last tip you have? If you go on an RV trip with a large group, what's your last tip for everybody listening?
You know, have some grace with each other and exercise a lot of patience. I mean, it can be challenging enough traveling with your own brood, as you know, and, you know, another family with different norms and expectations. You've got to exercise some patience and have plenty of grace for each other. And while it was challenging, I mean, making those memories with our extended family was totally worth it. And what I didn't mention to you, which is kind of a nice little bookend here, is that when my brother and I were kids, we did something similar with another family and my grandpa. So it was 9 people in what I think was like a 28 or 30 foot Class C, if you can even imagine that. But we drove from Michigan to Washington, D.C., and then up through upstate New York, Niagara Falls, and then back to Michigan. And I mean, even on this trip, my brother and I were sharing memories of that trip when we were kids. And so, you know, my greatest hope is that our kids will be sharing memories of this trip in years to come.
What a nice note to end on. And thank you so much for sharing these 10 tips. I think you've inspired me. I mean, I really do. I want to take RV trips where the boys bring friends or bring cousins or whatever it might be. I think that, you know, it really does make it incredibly memorable. So, Shelley, thank you so much for both episodes this week. It was great to be back in touch with you. And I hope we don't wait a year till you're back on the podcast.
It was great to catch up, Jeremy. Thank you.
Thank you.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas, and a big thanks to our sponsors.
To Jayco, the Thetford Corporation, CampSpot, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and our friends at Ocala Marion County in Florida.
To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, visit thervatlas.com.
And join the friendliest group of RVers over at the RV Atlas Group on Facebook.
And if you enjoyed this show, please consider leaving us a review over at iTunes.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.